This morning's sermon is called Go and Sin No More from John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. As we continue our journey through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, verse by verse. In this passage this morning, we are going to see another example of the grace and love and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go through the Word of God. If you brought your Bible with you, turn to John 8, verse 1 through 11, or you can look on the screen. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. We've been moving right along through this great book, this great journey we're on. Let's take a look at verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says that, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, Jesus came again into the temple, and all the people came to Jesus, and he sat down and taught them. Last Sunday, we left off in chapter 7, at the very end of chapter 7, in verse 53, saying that everyone went to his own house. That was at the very end of the Feast of Tabernacles, which lasted 8 days long. So now we pick up in verse 1 of this passage, says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Okay, so Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. This is one of Jesus' favorite places to go, was the Garden of Gethsemane. He went there often to rest and to pray to the Father. We see him throughout the Gospels, him praying here on the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where he went after the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus would often go to also the little town, this little village called Bethany, as you have seen in the scriptures. That was a small village on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. That's where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived, and Jesus would often go there and stay with them. So this seemed to be one of Jesus' favorite places to be. This is where Jesus is going to return when he comes back in a second coming as well, right to the Mount of Olives. So after the Feast of Tabernacles, which was 8 days long, all the crowds left. There was thousands of people there that would gather. All the crowds left, the religious leaders left as well, and it was starting to empty out. But we see Jesus was right back in the temple early in the morning, teaching those who had a hungry heart for him. Most of the people had left this area in Jerusalem, but not these people. These people that are gathered around Jesus this morning, they wanted to know more about Jesus. They wanted to know more about the kingdom of God. And Jesus ministers to those who have a hungry heart to know more about him. And this is what he's doing on this morning. So as Jesus was teaching in the temple, it was early in the morning as we read, and he has this crowd around him who are hungry to know more about him and the kingdom of God. Here comes these wicked, obnoxious, hypocrite Pharisees. Take a look at verse 3. Verse 3 through 5. Verse 3 says, then the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, brought to Jesus a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, I'm quoting the Bible now to Jesus. Now Moses in the law, he commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say, Jesus? Now we know these religious hypocrites. They didn't care about the law of Moses. Just read through the Gospels. They drag this woman into the temple of God. They know Jesus is there. He's teaching to those who had a hungry heart to know more about him. And they drag this woman right into the midst of Jesus and his followers. No doubt she was crying, fearful of her life, embarrassed, full of shame, and they shove her in the midst of the crowd. and they're pointing at her with rocks in their hands, and they say to Jesus, the Bible says we ought to stone her, Jesus. We ought to kill her. What a bunch of wicked people, huh? How could one be so spiritually dead? Here's this woman sitting in the dirt, crying, fearful of her life, embarrassed, full of shame, and the religious leaders act furious about the sin against God. These Pharisees, I'll tell you, they may have looked holy on the outside, but they were wolves in sheep's clothing. These religious men didn't care about this woman's sin. They want you to think that, but they weren't. They brought this woman to Jesus not because they were distraught over her son, but because they wanted to test Jesus, that they might have something to accuse him of. Let's take a look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. This they said, testing Jesus, that they might have something which to accuse him of. Let's just stop right there for a minute, right in the middle of that verse. They didn't really care about this woman's sin. They did this, as the scripture says, to test Jesus once again. They did this throughout all the Gospels. We see this. They were always trying to pin Jesus against the wall with all the theological questions to test him. All the time. So what was it that they were testing him? What did they want to charge him with? During the Roman occupation, when the Romans captured the nations, they would let them self-rule themselves, except they would never let them kill anyone. Only they could do that. Okay? They would never let them do that. Only the Romans had the authority to kill. But they would let the Jewish people self-rule themselves. That's why we see that when Jesus got crucified, it was Pontius Pilate, okay, that had to crucify him. The high priest Caiaphas could not do that as much as he wanted to. He would not. He knew they would have to bring Jesus to the Romans because they had the authority to kill Jesus and crucify him. So the high priest couldn't. So here's what they're testing him with right here. So if Jesus says, stone this woman to death, they would run to the Romans and tattle on Jesus and say, huh, you see where it's going? Oh, Jesus wants to kill someone. Gonna have to put him to death. But if Jesus says, don't stone her, do not kill her, they would proclaim that Jesus was a heretic, a compromiser of the law of Moses in Leviticus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 22. So they think they have Jesus pinned against the wall. We got him now, right? You see where this is going, right? We got him now. They didn't care about this woman, what she was doing. So they think they have Jesus, God in the flesh, in a lose-lose situation. Because no matter what Jesus answers, they got him. Think they got him. Now, Jesus' followers, I just want to put you in that scene. A lot of times when you read the scriptures, it's good to put yourself in the scene, in that moment, to help you understand it better. Okay? So now Jesus' followers, they're gathered around him. They see all this commotion going on. The religious leaders are on the scene. They have a woman crying in the dirt that got caught in adultery. They're looking at Jesus, and they're confused. And they're trying to figure out, how is Jesus going to resolve mercy and justice? She sinned and the law requires death. Leviticus chapter 20, Deuteronomy 22. So the scribes and the Pharisees, they got rocks in their hands. They're pointing to this poor woman on the dirt, waiting for Jesus to respond. And look at what the rest of verse 6 says. Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. Boy, you think that got their blood going? He stoops down in the dirt where the woman is, and he starts writing in the dirt with his finger. So what did Jesus write? Nobody knows. But many biblical scholars, and I believe this as well, when Jesus stooped down on the ground and wrote in the dirt, I believe he looked up at one of the Pharisees and wrote, thief. Looked up at another Pharisee, wrote, adulterer. Looked up at another Pharisee and wrote, liar. He revealed their own sin right before their eyes. I bet you could hear a pin drop. He revealed to them that they were all just as guilty as the woman. Jesus was surrounded by all these Pharisee hypocrites who were bloodthirsty to condemn sinners, and they had no concept of the grace of God. And they suppressed their own sin and hypocrisy in their own lives. And Jesus calls them out in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus told these Pharisees that they were adulterers because their hearts were full of lust. Matthew 5, verse 27 and 28 says, Jesus is talking to these Pharisees. He says, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus brings adultery to the next level, right? If you look at another woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart, says the Lord. Be careful, man. Be careful. These are Jesus' words. You look at another woman with lust in your heart for her, you've committed adultery, says the Lord. Jesus always takes it to the next level. Here they were trying to condemn this woman, and they were guilty of the same things Jesus tells them. I wonder when I was reading through this passage, and I read through it many times, trying to think of myself, oh, I wonder what the Lord was writing. I wonder what he's writing to those hypocrites. Oh, I'd have loved to have been there. I just wonder if the lady crying in the dirt looked over and saw Jesus writing, liar, adulterer, thief. I'm sure she had a smile on her face when she saw that. Powerful. Let's take a look at verse 7 and 8. It's going to get even better. Jesus is just getting started, just so you know. Trying to back God into the, pin God against the wall. See how that goes. Look at verse 7. So when they continued, Come on, Jesus, what are we going to do here? They continue asking Jesus. Jesus raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. That's not the answer they were looking for. Verse 8, and again, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. Oh, Jesus isn't done. They continue to pressure Jesus, right? It says they continued to press Jesus. He gets up from writing in the dirt. He says something very powerful to them, and to us. He who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. And he stoops back down on the ground, and he starts writing in the dirt. What do you think he's writing now? Hypocrite. Blasphemer. You think they got the picture? Yeah, not really. Jesus calls them out for their own sin. Powerful. Let's take a look at verse 9. Then those who heard, well, they heard what? Well, they heard, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. Look at this. Look at this. Being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. See ya, fellas. Hypocrites. Beginning with the oldest to the last, the youngest. And Jesus, look at this. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing beside him. She's beside God in the flesh. As Jesus was writing in the dirt about their own sin, this is what you need to understand. As Jesus was writing all those things, I believe, in the dirt, liar, hypocrite, adulterer, thief, blasphemer, only God would know this, that they are all of those things. Why? Because God knows everything about you, and he knows everything about me. Everything. There's not one thing you do. Every minute of your life, God doesn't know about. Whether you do it in the dark or you do it in the light, Jesus says, I know. I know how you live. I know what you do. I know what you say. And I know how committed you are to me, says the Lord Almighty. That's why he wrote there. He looked at one. Oh, Tom, hypocrite. So-and-so, thief. So-and-so, oh yeah, I know him too. Liar. Because God knows everybody. He knows us more than we know us. Right? He's God. He created us. This is powerful. Only God would know. And they knew he would know. And they walked away one by one. They were convicted of their own conscience. Jesus drove home the fact that they were just as sinful as her. And that they were far from holy. You know, our conscience can be our best friend, huh? Right? The Bible tells us that that is a gift from God, the conscience, to the person. That your conscience that you have, God put that in you as a gift. Why? So you would know right from wrong. That you would have the discernment to know what's right and what's wrong. Do we serve an amazing God or what? We serve an amazing God. He put a conscience inside of us so we would know what's right and what's wrong. That we would be able to have the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge to discern what's right and what's wrong. know, the conscience is an amazing thing, but it doesn't do us any good. Listen, it doesn't do us any good if we're convicted by sin and we just walk away. It doesn't do us any good, just like those Pharisees did. Jesus called them out. I know who you are. You're a thief. You're this. And what did they do? They just walked away. Not a one of them repented, it says in the scripture. Not one of them repented. They just walked away. So your conscience, if some, you know what you're doing is wrong, but you just walk away, that's fine. Try again tomorrow. That doesn't work with God. That's not why he gave you the conscience. He wants you to repent of your sin and say, Lord, what I did was wrong, and you know it. And I'm sorry. And I ask you to forgive me. That's not what these Pharisees did. They were convicted by their sin, but didn't repent. All right, let's look at our final two verses, verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11, it says, when Jesus had raised himself up a second time, he saw no one but the woman. He said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus' response, full of grace, full of love, full of mercy, Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Be done with this sin, Jesus is telling her. Go in peace and forgiveness. Jesus' grace is the motivation for holiness. Amen. Jesus' grace is the motivation for holiness. He tells her, he tells this woman, he says, do not commit adultery anymore, not because you're afraid to get stoned, but because you have met God and he has given you grace. That's why I want you to go and live a different life. Not because getting stoned by these Pharisees, but because you have come face to face with God. You have met God and received his grace. Listen, it's just like you and me in Christ. We've met God, and Jesus says, go and sin no more. You've received my grace. Go in peace and sin no more. That's just powerful. I mean, this is powerful. When you fell to your knees and you cried out for forgiveness and you met with God on your knees, he said, you've been forgiven. Go and sin no more. Jesus' grace should motivate all of us to live in holiness, which means to put away sin. Holy, so you know, and you probably do, holy means set apart from sin. That's what holy means, right? The Bible tells us in 1st book of Peter, chapter 1, it says, be holy for your Father in heaven is holy. Set apart from sin. That's what holy is, right? Now listen, does this mean we'll never sin again? Absolutely not. We will. But here's the difference. If you are saved, you cannot live in a sinful state of mind. Every time you sin, it'll truly bother you. And you will go to the Father, and you will ask forgiveness in the Son's name, and you will do this the rest of your life. It is a sign of being saved. Because listen, if sin doesn't bother you, you're in a dangerous place. You're not in Christ Jesus. If it doesn't bother you, will you sin? Yes, but you cannot live in a sinful state of mind. You can't do it. You can't do it. Sin will bother you each and every time, And what offends Jesus Christ is going to offend you too. Period. It's going to offend you just as well. Hey, listen. When you became born again, the sin that you once loved to do, you now hate. And the righteous things that you used to hate to do, you now love to do. That is a sign of a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. God changes the believer from the inside out. Scripture says you give him a new heart and a new spirit. God does the work in the believer. That's why your desires change. That's why you're here this morning. Because you wanted to come to God's house because he gave you the desire to do it. Do you notice since coming to Christ, you like to come to church more? You like to read your Bible more? You like to pray for others more? You like to be around believers like you more? Not because of you. Because of Christ in you. That's Christ inside the believer's heart. And you do it all for his glory. Do it all for his glory. You know, the only reason that Jesus could grant her forgiveness on that day, you know why? Do you know why Jesus could grant her forgiveness right before him? Because he knew he was going to take her sin to the cross. He knew that day, that morning, he was going to take this woman's sin to the cross. So he says, go in peace. You've been forgiven. I'm taking your sin to the cross. Just like he did for you and me. It's the only reason why he could forgive her. Listen, the woman's sin wouldn't have gone unpunished. Okay? Sin has to be dealt with. Every sin ever committed will not go unpunished. It'll either be punished in a substitute, Jesus Christ, or you. No sin, the Bible says, will ever go unpunished. Her sin had to be dealt with. He forgave her and took her sin to the cross. That's why he could tell her to go. Sin no more. Go live a different life. I've given you grace. It's amazing. Jesus, just so you know, is the only substitute that qualifies to take your sin and my sin to the cross. Why? Because he was the only man that was sinless. That's why he's called the Son of Man. He's the only man to live without sin. That's where he gets the title, Son of Man. Fully God, fully man. Fully God, fully man. And all those in Christ Jesus, our sin debt's been paid in full. Right? The day you came, listen, one last thing, then we'll close here. The day you came to Christ, your sin debt, okay, listen, was transferred to Jesus. Jesus' righteousness, right? His righteousness got credited to your account. Wow. You kidding me? Jesus, you're willing to take all my sin debt and transfer all your righteousness to my account? Oh. That's why we live in hope. We have a Savior who died for us. Transferred. And now we've been justified in the sight of God. What's justified mean? Just as if I never sinned before a holy God. Can you imagine? Sin debt wiped out. Jesus' righteousness credited to you. So when the Father looks down from heaven, he sees Jesus in you. Hallelujah. Right? For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Listen, I have another thing I want to share with you. I want you to know this is the heart of God for the sinner. This is the heart of God for the sinner. Go and sin no more. You've been forgiven. You've been made new. You've been made new in Christ Jesus. Jesus was the only person on that morning who was qualified to stone this woman to death. And he said to her, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you either. You've been blessed by God's grace. No doubt in my mind, this woman turned to Jesus Christ that day, just like the Samaritan woman back in chapter 4 at the well. Lord, here I am. I'm all yours. No doubt about it. She thought she was going to die that day. Stoned to death. Can you imagine? That's a pretty bad way to die. Stoned to death. The woman got to leave with a pure, cleansed heart. She got a second chance, a new start, new hope. But Jesus told her, go live a holy life now. I just want to share a quote with you and we'll close, from J.C. Riley. He was a preacher in the 1800s. Listen to what he wrote. He wrote, how can I live in sin when Jesus Christ had died to save me from it? You follow me on that? I may have read that too fast. How can I live in sin when Jesus Christ had to die to save me from it? Wow. Amen. Meeting God's grace requires a changed life. Since coming to Christ, Jesus tells us all, you've been forgiven, but go and sin no more. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning through your word. Oh, Lord, we ask you as we gather in your name, we ask you, Lord, that you'll continue to minister to us, to teach us your word, to bring us to you, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can